How good is it to be in church this morning? You picked a good day to be here. That baptism was beautiful. And the one in the first service, beautiful baptisms. I love it. I love seeing the picture of a father and his sons watching him get baptized. Amen. That's what we need to be in our communities. Setting examples to our kids, to the next generation. It's so good. Have you ever been somewhere where you've arrived and you don't know what's going on? You're the last person. Everybody else seems in tune with something and you don't know what's going on. Sometimes I feel like that. I've been to different types of churches. You go to a different church. I remember the first time I went to a Xhosa church. See, second service. There's an anointing on the service. I got Xhosa right. Second time. Boom. And then everybody starts singing. If you've been in a traditional church, you know, there's not need of a worship leader on stage. There's need of an auntie that knows what she's got in her heart. She gets up and she starts. And then everybody knows the words. There's no projector. There's no handouts. Have you been there? And then somebody just starts out, Ujesu pageme. See, Daniel knows. And then everybody chimes in, and Upageme. And then everybody knows, and everybody's up on their feet, and you don't know what's going on. You're like, Maybe you know a little bit more punkster, huh? Shoo. Maybe Brutus and his sisters. Then they, Kana. Hallelujah, Kana, hallelujah, ons gaan Kana too. See something, you know. And then you start walking around the church with a little bit of a two steps back, one step forward. That's where Emo Adams comes from, people. He comes from church. People think he learned showbiz somewhere else. He learned it in the front row of a church. They don't know where the ara pom pom knee thing came from. That's not the church, though, but the rest of it. I grew up in a house where it was always singing, you know, always singing. My grandmother used to sing, and she used to sing this hymn all the time. I used to know it off by heart. And she would sing it, and you know when people start singing hymns, and then you just know the rest to follow. And she would start with this, "This is my story." You know it. She would whistle it up and down. Me, I try to be, you know, I've got a girlfriend and she sings in our worship team. She's got a great voice, beautiful voice. And I'm trying to be more romantic. It doesn't come naturally to me, you know, romance. And so I try to be more romantic and we're walking along the beach and, you know, stars in the sky and I'm holding her hand. And I think we're going to have such a great movie moment. I just clench her hand and we walk in and I look at her and I go, I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. And then I look back at her and I'm waiting for her to join me and then she doesn't. I'm like all on my own, a whole new world. It's like my moment and she's not with me. And I'm like, why aren't you singing with me? And she's like, because you're singing in the wrong key. I'll show you a key. But I want to, you know, so often it can feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and we just hear in the beginning of a song that we want to hear the rest of. You know, we'll come into church. Well, you know, in the morning, I don't know about you, but I feel like, man, God's going to speak to me today. Well, I really need an answer in this area. I really need to know something about this. And we'll sit in the service and we'll just be waiting. It's like a song that we know we've just got to sing the rest of, but we've got to hear it from Him. I believe God wants to speak to us today. I believe He wants to speak to you about something that you've heard, that you've heard. It's a message that started in your heart that I want to help fill in the blanks with today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You are the God that speaks to us. You are not silent. You are not dead. You are not a statue, but you are the God that is alive and alive forevermore. And you are alive with us this morning, God. We've seen here with these baptisms, Father God, that you raise to life that inside of us which is dead. And I pray that your word would speak to us, minister to us. Let it do more than what my tongue can do, God. Let it bring freedom into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. It's so good. I want to preach to you about the table. We have a table of the Lord. You know, God prepares a table for us all the time. We hear it all throughout the Word of God, this table that is prepared for us. And in Psalm 23, we hear about the table that He has prepared for us. It says this, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He prepares a table for us. A table that we might be nearer to him. When I was growing up, my mother would prepare a table for us. She would prepare a place for us, especially Sundays. Sunday was the roast, and you knew what was happening by what was laid on the table. This is how we learned to be foodies, because my mother would pair the right things. You know, if there was apple jelly on the table, you knew it was going to be pork roast. If there was mint sauce on the table, you knew you were going to have lamb, you know. My mother, she was good at cooking. That's why I'm so good looking. And every time there would be this table that you prepare. And you know what? God sets this picture for us all throughout the Word of God. We see that He's made a table for us. And that we have a seat at this table. We have a seat in His presence. We have a seat near Him. And today I want to talk to you about where that seat is. Where He's called you to sit. The first chair we have at the table is the chair of the priest. The priest would sit at a table. And we hear about Jesus that He is the high priest. We hear that He's gone before us. And the seat of a priest, we would think, is one of pomp, of one of stature, of one of being all-knowing. But actually, the priest was one who needed to be in the presence of God. The priest was the one who needed to hear from God. And the priest was the one who would go in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, to be near to Him. And this is what we read in Hebrews 6, verse 19. It says that we have this high priest. We have this anchor, this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. This anchor is firm and secure. When a ship weighs anchor, it's firm and it's secure. That ship is going nowhere. The priest reminds us that we have an anchor firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This high priest that we serve, Jesus Christ, has gone before us. Has made a way so that not only he, the high priest, can enter in, but so that all can enter into the presence of God, so that all can know the goodness and the love that follow them. The priest gives us an allowance to go into His presence, to be near to who He is, to know the love that God gives us. This priest seat is one that we so often want to sit at. We want to sit at the table and be close to God and hear His voice and know who He is. But this seat is not your seat at the table. This is not where you're going to sit. This chair here, this is for the prophet. The prophet in God's word is often explained to us as people that would hear God's voice and speak it to people. A prophet would sit. This is a good chair. You're ready for that? Shh. Spin around. I'll do it like this. The prophet would hear the voice of God. This is my prophet voice. In church, we do this scary sometimes. Maybe you've got stories that you remember when you were little and there was a prophet coming to town. You know? Somebody said to me the other day, Basil, why do we have prophets coming to town anymore? And I said, because of you. No, I didn't say it. I said, the prophets don't come to town anymore because they live here. Because God's voice is here. He's in the church. The prophets are sitting here. And you know, prophecy doesn't need to be weird. It doesn't need to be awkward. You know what? It has a place in our church. It has a very needed place in our church. We've made it weird. We've made it all about us. We've made it all about shakananas and spitting and, you know. Somebody the other day said that they prophetic. Once they've prayed for somebody for 3 hours, then they get a word for them. So they call him into a room and they pray for 3 hours. And she wants to pray for me. I'm like, lady, I don't have time for your 3 hours in a room. Hey? Eh? That's like 6 episodes right there, though, you know? I want to give you some tips on prophecy. If somebody gives you a prophetic word, you need to write it down. Write it down. Thank them. Be nice. Write it down. Pray about it. Don't just accept anything that anybody speaks over your life. Don't be quick to let those others lay hands on you. But write it down, pray about it, and check it in God's word. If it doesn't match up with the word of God, it doesn't match up in your life. Because God will not give you a word that is contrary to what his word says. God will not give you a word that doesn't match up with what he says. So there's this prophecy. We read this in 2 Peter 1 verse 20. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. It's a big problem. A lot of prophets today, it's their own interpretation. Their own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. You see, a lot of us want to sit in this office of prophet. We want to sit in this chair. We want to have this great anointing on our lives. But you see, we need to understand that the prophetic can only come from a place of nearness with the Holy Spirit. You've got to be carried by the Holy Spirit. Carried by the Holy Spirit. Spend time with God and his word. I believe it's time for us to be prophetic, to speak encouraging words over people. God, when he prophesies, he's not going to discourage people. He's going to build them up. He's going to equip them for his work. I believe this. When we spend time with God, that's when you get that prompting. Man, I need to send this one a scripture. Where's this person been? I haven't seen them in church for a while. Well, that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. That's prophetic. It's not about having your own website and having 3-hour sessions with people. No, it's an ability that we have when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and he wants to minister to his people. That's prophetic. See, I've got to be careful at the back here because of this pool. It's very deep. It's very deep. And if I fall in here, it's going to be like SeaWorld. I mean, it's going to be wet. Now, only the iPhone users are going to be. You know, I'm losing people here quick. When you want to abandon a message, you just go back. Lay in the water until everything goes by. A lot of us need to find our seat at the table. And we think it's prophetic. You know, God wants us to be a prophetic voice in our world, in our school, in our workplace. But that's not the seat at the table for you. There's a last seat that I have at this table. And that is the king. This is a king. A king has authority, has great power, responsibility. Leadership is a great responsibility. Great. And the more I've grown in my leadership and the more responsibility that's been handed to me, the more I've learned that leadership is not always a gift, but it's something that we carry. Some would call it a burden. Jesus called it a cross. And when others wanted to be like him, he said, you would need to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Pick up your death because you have got to die to this. A king's life is not their own. A queen, we see with a queen, their life is not her own. It's the need of the people, need of the public. They are even called to be public servants. This seat of the king was described to us by our Savior. There were many kings in this world, but there was only one true king. A king so great, he was called the King of Kings. And in Revelation 19, it says this, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God." You don't need no Game of Thrones season finale. You need to go to Revelations. And you're going to see a King of Kings. He doesn't just have the swords of kings on a throne. He's got crowns on his head. Crowns of kingdoms, because he is the King of all kings. He is the ruler of all rulers. He is the speaker of justice, and his war is righteous. And he fights for you and he fights for me. This King of all kings would stand next to us with a robe that is dipped in blood. And his eyes are like flames of fire. This King of Kings that loves us so much has called us, has called you, has called me to be a part of what he does. And what does he do? He fights. He fights. He fights for the kingdom. He fights for righteousness. He stands up for injustice. He speaks for the people. You and I need to understand that our calling is so much deeper, so much more real. It is a calling that he has called us to be people that fight for others, people that stand up for righteousness. Even when it starts in our own lives, that we would stand up and say, "God, I need to stand against this. I need to stand up for something. I need to let the righteousness come into my life yet again." This seat of the king so often in our lives is something that we desire. We desire a title. We desire an accomplishment. We desire a position. But this seat is not for you. It's not for me. This is not the seat at the table that he has for us. You see, because when Jesus came, he was a priest. He was a prophet. And he was a king. He was all three of these things, but he was these three things in one. He didn't sit on any single throne. He didn't sit in any temple that made him a priest. He was all of these things at the same time. And his disciples, who like you and me, came up to him and said, "Jesus, we want to know where we're going to stand with you. What position are we going to hold one day in heaven? When you are there in the throne room of God, where are we going to stand? Where are we going to be?" And then Jesus called them together. And in Mark chapter 10, it says this. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people and officials. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Among you, it will be different. These will not be the desires that you have. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. Came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Jesus lived this out long before we could understand this. Man, this is so against our nature. It's so against our nature. If somebody starts selling kusas to Zasadia, you're going to be in the front of that line. You're not going to be a slave. You're not going to be at the back. You're going to be in the front there. You're going to make sure that you get before it runs out. But Jesus hasn't called us to be that. He's called us to be the slave. And I want to tell you about where your seat is at this table. I want to tell you that he has a seat for you. He has a place for you here. But it's not in the seat of a priest. It's not in the seat of a prophet. It's not in the seat of a king. But it is in the seed of something that combines all of these. And what would it take to combine all of these into one? What position would it take? It would take the position of a servant. It would take the position at the foot of all of this. You see, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And when he was here, when he was on his knees, a world heard his voice as a priest. They heard God speak as he spoke. They heard a prophecy about the plans that he had for them. And they had a king who stood over their lives that said that he would fight for them. That he would fight for them. It took somebody on their knees. You see, the seat that you have at the table isn't a seat at all. It's a place on your knees. A place that you would give yourself to this. That I would die for this. This is not natural for us. This is not normal. We don't normally sit around on our knees. If somebody's on their knees, they're begging. If somebody's on their knees, they're weak. If somebody's on their knees, they're not strong. But Jesus taught us that when you are your weakest, I will be your strength. When you are down, I will be the one who raises you up. Well, let's see if I can get up. One move. Hey, that was better than the first service. In the first service, I fell on my face. Why are you laughing at that? I didn't fall on my face. Gee, some people. I did it gracefully. It's like dressage. You know? I sang for you this morning. Tonight I'm going to dance. You better come tonight, because tonight I'm preaching a message, because there's another table that's been set for us. But this is the table that the enemy set for us. And he's invited you to dinner, but you're on the menu. And sometimes the people that invited you to that dinner are the closest friends that you have. The numbers at the top of your WhatsApp chats. I want to speak about how to hear the enemy's voice and distinguish it from God's voice. I'm going to speak from my own pain tonight. A lesson that I've learned and a lesson that healed. Don't miss tonight. God wants to do something tonight. But you know, on my knees is where I found that God will make me a priest, a prophet, and a king. When I feel the fear of being a man, of being a person that needs to have it all together and figure it all out and know my calling and destiny, I found that on my knees is where I'm going to learn it. When the anxiety gets too much of this world and the pressures are just, I can't deal anymore, when I'm on my knees, I find that he prophesies grace and truth over my life, that he speaks the future that is ahead of me, not the past that dictates. Great place of strength is a place on your knees. It's so good to be here. I want to tell you that God has really got an anointing on this house, because you've got leaders that are servants, because you've got leaders that lay their lives down. This building is not built by cement and bricks. It's built by blood and sweat. It's built by hope. It's built by trusting in God. And we've got to take it to another level. We've got to not let it stay where it is. God is calling us all the time to come to our knees. And you know what? We feel like we failed because we haven't got this together. We feel like we failed because we weren't able to sit as a priest. We feel like we failed because we weren't able to sit as a prophet. We weren't able to sit as a king. We messed up in life. We made mistakes. And he's saying, just come to where I am on my knees. I will heal you, that you can stand up before anything. I want to pray with you this morning. If you'd close your eyes, I want to ask you, where's the places that you failed? Maybe as a priest, maybe you stopped hearing the voice of God. Maybe you're saying, he doesn't even want to speak to me anymore. Maybe you're failing as a prophet. You can't see your future anymore. You are just so surprised that you made it to today. But God wants you to see a future again. He wants you to dream again. He wants you to have hope again. Maybe you failed in as a king, as a position of leadership. Maybe you feel like you've failed as a husband, as a head of your home. I don't know where it is, but I want to tell you this, that Jesus is calling you to your knees. He's calling you to his cross, and he's saying, here is where I will fix it. Here is where I will heal you. I will make you whole. Not because of anything that's going on around you, but because of where you are. that you are choosing to follow me, choosing to hear my voice above it all. Because he is the priest and his name is the Word of God. He is the King of all kings and he is mighty and powerful, fighting a righteous war for your very soul right now. If you've made these mistakes like I did, if you are failed at one of these chairs and you're asking Jesus, help me to be a servant. Help me to be a servant like you were. Help me to be a servant and a king at the same time. Help me to be a servant and a prophet at the same time, a servant and a priest at the same time. If you're saying that, I want you to lift your hand up because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you the prayer that I prayed myself in a bedroom, the prayer that I prayed myself when I needed to fix it all. I want you, if you want to lift up your hands, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all these hands. Thank you, Jesus. We are your servants. We're coming before you. Father God, I pray the prayer that I pray. Lord Jesus, help me to find myself at your feet. Help me to return to the place that you will lift me up. Help me to return to the place that my weaknesses are made strong because of you, Jesus. Help me to be a servant, God. Help me to be a servant leader. Help me to be a servant that seeks your will above my will, God. Help me, God, to be a slave to others, God. A slave to others because I serve them like you serve them, Jesus. Help me, Father God, to hear your voice again, to know your will for my life, Jesus, to know your purposes. Help us to hear you, Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you hear about Jesus. When we are on our knees, we look to our left and we see this king with many crowns and eyes of fire, but he's got a robe and that robe is drenched in blood. It's got blood at the bottom of the robe and that blood is his own. It's a sacrifice that he made with his life so that he could save your life. It's a sacrifice that he gave so that you could have. It's a sacrifice that he died so that you could be resurrected with him. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you want to accept this king, this mighty, powerful King of kings, not this gentle, mild idea that we get, this mighty powerful king, if you want to accept him as Lord of your life, I want you to put your hand up. Put your hand up so that I can see it. Saying, Jesus, I live for you. Amen. Amen. I see these hands. Amen. I see the couple's hands there. And all the way at the back, I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus, that we can accept you as our Lord. Maybe you've got to come back this morning. Maybe you're on your knees coming back to Jesus. You just got to follow him. I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray with you right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for those that have put their hands up to receive you as Lord of their lives. We accept you as Lord because you have laid down your life. And as you laid down your life, God, we were able to pick up something. We were able to pick up our broken pieces and see our lives made whole in you, God. Thank you that you forgive us of our sins, that you paid the ultimate price that we could live the life you've called us to live. I pray for everyone that has put up their hands, Jesus. May they choose to follow you and seek your ways. May you speak to them, God. May you anoint them and call them into the future that you have for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all say amen. Come on, church, let's make some noise for those that have given their hearts to Jesus. Thank you, Lord.